Welcome to the Financial Flight Plan with Tim Estes and Bree Reyes. When it comes to your financial future, we believe the sky is the limit. We'll give you the proper tools to keep your engine portfolio running smoothly. Let us pilot the answers to some of your toughest financial issues. The Financial Flight Plan starts now.
This is the Financial Flight Plan podcast, helping you learn a little bit more about the financial world, how you can improve maybe your situation. If you've got questions, we hope to have answers here on the show, or at least get you thinking about the right ways to get answers to your questions. I'm Walter Storholt alongside Bree Reyes. She, of course, is a certified financial planner and your investor coach at Estes Financial Services, serving you throughout the Metroplex. Find us online at estesfinancial.net, and we've got lots of good things on the agenda for you today. But first of all, Bree, thanks for taking the time to join us this week. How you been?
I've been great. I've been so excited to be back and be doing the podcast.
Yeah, well, we're excited for this topic today because I think it's something that, kind of strikes at the spirit that both you and I have. And it's the DIY spirit. And we're going to talk a little bit about when doing it yourself in retirement planning works and also when it doesn't. And before we even get into the financial side of this, you know, I think in many areas of our culture, Bree, the do-it-yourself mentality is really popular and probably becoming even more so these days because we've got, you know, DIY TV type networks with renovation shows, landscaping, interior design type things, and lots of people like going about it on their own without that professional help these days.
Oh yeah, I am a giant, well, I'm a crafter, and my husband is handy, super handy around the house. He's very much a do-it-yourselfer until we have to call a professional in. And he would tell you our TV is usually turned to either HGTV or DIY network. So I'm all for DIYing certain things. And there are times when it works and there's times when, as Dad says, as Tim says, you call the guy. Dad is more of a call the guy person. He's not really the do-it-yourselfer, but I understand the mentality quite a bit.
Yeah, I'm DIY until I mess it up and then I call the guy, as I just did actually earlier this week. We were renovating one of our bathrooms in the home that we bought. This is the bathroom that, as I was changing out the shower fixture, I twisted the pipes in the wall, and so we had to cut a big hole in our bedroom and get access to the pipes and get that all replaced. But, you know, that was in the past, and we were putting up some beadboard and new vanities, and I was just putting in the last screw in the beadboard to kind of hold it to the wall while the liquid nails helped adhere the beadboard to the wall, and thought I'd be safe drilling above, you know, the water valve where the, where the vanity would be, and drilled in the, and I literally mean the last screw, like the screw was going in, and then we were going down to dinner, and as soon as I screwed it in, we heard psss, and ran downstairs as fast as we could, turned the water off, sure enough, cut a hole in the wall, drilled a hole right through the pipe. For some inexplicable reason, it shoots up about, 9 or 10 inches from the top of the valve. No idea why they installed that. And so Mr. Plumber ended up coming back out the next day to help fix that for us. And he had the sense of humor to leave behind the pipe with the hole right in the middle of it as a souvenir for me. So,
oh, that's good. See, there's two things that I am wary of DIY on. And even my husband will eventually come around to this. Love you, Joaquin. Electrical.
Yep.
And plumbing. Now, I have watched, and Joaquin has installed a toilet in our house and a disposal, and he's done some minor plumbing repair, and that's all been okay. This last time around, though, we had something in our pipes, and we had to get the pro, but of course, Joaquin had to try it himself first, and so we spent a day trying it ourselves, which with a almost two-year-old is a feat in itself. And then finally, I was like, can we please, for the sake of our own sanity, call the guy.
Yeah.
And he agreed to the guy, and I was over the moon. Best gift ever. Thank you, honey.
Sounds like Joaquin and I are, cut from the same cloth.
Oh, so yeah.
He and I would get along well, I think, from our mentality of DIY. But
oh, yeah.
Anyway, we could go on and on about our DIYs gone wrong, and that wouldn't necessarily be a bad thing to do. It would tee us up nicely for our conversation today, because what we want to do is talk about what that DIY mentality looks like when we approach retirement planning. And so when you come across somebody, Bree, who doesn't have a financial advisor, what are their reasons for taking that DIY approach to their finances?
There's quite a few, and then they vary person to person. But the first one is they don't think they have enough money. I don't need a financial advisor. I don't have $7 million.
Okay.
And my argument to that would be you definitely need a financial advisor because you don't have $7 million.
I guess that goes both ways, doesn't it?
Yeah, it kind of does. It, you know, do you have anybody helping you have a plan? No, they're too expensive. Okay, so what's your plan? I don't have one.
Mm.
Okay. So that would be the first thing I've seen. And there's some firms, some of the big firms and firms I've worked with in the past do have account minimums. At Estes Financial Services, we work a little differently, so I wouldn't say there's a set account minimum for everybody. So there's not an enough money situation. I would argue that you definitely need a financial advisor to get to enough money, a certified financial planner. The next thing I hear a lot is I've been burned in the past by XYZ Financial Advisor or 2008, and I can't do it again. Okay. You know, I trust myself. I don't trust anybody else. And that's great as long as you're doing the research and you're staying on top of everything and you're rebalancing when you need to and you have an enforced non-emotional discipline. That's fine for some people. And then there's others that genuinely like trading their accounts, the day trading type. And those people tend to be great at that. They may need a financial planner to help craft an overall vision, but there are some people that this is their hobby and this is what they do. And I say, you know, that's great. That's wonderful. But more and more people are realizing that planning for retirement or even their financial future, their goals and their dreams is much, much harder than they thought. And so they might do it for about 6 months and then decide, okay, I want to turn this over to somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't as much fun as I thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
Well, I hear that one a lot more. And that's kind of what happens in our house with our DIY projects.
Right.
About halfway through, it's like, wait a second. I thought this would be simple, and B, I thought this would be fun, and C, it's neither of those things.
Yeah. Yeah. I think there's a show that really speaks to me. I think it's on Netflix and I believe it's based in Canada and it's called Reno My Reno. And so it's renovations that got started and never finished. And so they need a renovation to their renovation. Oh, it's a good show. It's a good show. The host is very funny because they kind of make fun of the people. So it's got a little fun edge to it where they're like, what were you thinking when you did this? You know, so like, they're not afraid to like poke fun at the folks. All lighthearted, but it's actually pretty cool. And I think all of the renovations take place on like on a lake. So they're all like really pretty, you know, mountain homes kind of surrounding a lake. So they're, you know, they all have cool views and, you know, it's just different. But there was this one guy where it's like negative 20 degrees outside in the winter on the lake. And he's just got like a very thin piece of plastic, like covering up the outside of his home that he had stripped apart during the fall, and now it's like he never finished the project, so it's like 0 degrees inside the house, and they're like, yeah, we're in serious trouble here. So
that's a call the guy.
That's a call the guy.
If hypothermia can be involved, call the guy.
Right. Are there any other triggers that cause somebody who was once a DIYer to then come and meet with an advisor like you, other than that sort of like panic moment of I got into it, now things have gone wrong?
Spouses.
Okay.
Sometimes I see, and we see this pretty regularly, one spouse has DIY'd it and the other spouse is either wants them to stop because of the stress level being too high, that's fun, or realizes that life is short and they may be in charge of this one of these days and they'd prefer to have a professional manage it now so they know who to call and they're not just shocked when, you know, when life happens, mm-hmm. life events happen. So sometimes it can be, and you know, it happens in my house too, between Joaquin and I. Sometimes the need to call in the professional is maybe led by one person more than the other.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because we're not all the same, right? And so we do have disagreements on things and different viewpoints on different items. So I think that's helpful to realize that in our lives, whether it be a financial standpoint or not, certainly very important. What about an example, maybe, Bree, of a time you met with somebody who had been a do-it-yourselfer, but you were able to kind of point out that flaw, maybe a particular flaw in their thinking, and help them actually avoid a mistake. Like if I had had the plumber there when I was, you know, drilling that screw into the wall, he could have said, oh, now sometimes those pipes go a couple inches above the valve. You should probably move to the left an inch and you'll avoid a headache.
Yeah, there's a couple of different ones I've seen. And spouses, and back to your previous question, the couple other triggers that just popped in my head as you were talking, market volatility, like over the last couple of years, sometimes that can spur people to seek professional guidance. And then this one kind of comes together. The ones that where a professional can help you avoid making a mistake, there's two that jump out in my mind right now. The first one, big one, is taxes. I've seen cases where, and this is a really good example, we had somebody come in the other day. They thought their Social Security was tax-free. They thought it was a tax when it was taken out. And so when they got it back later on, it would be tax-free. So they had built their retirement plan, understanding that in their mind, Social Security was tax-free. And it is not. Depend upon your income, up to 85% of your Social Security can be taxable. Hmm. And those taxes really took a out of what they thought they were going to have in living expenses.
Especially at 85%.
Yeah. Yeah. Up to 85% of your Social Security is eligible for taxation. And so that was one where they had thought they had planned and they thought it, they had it perfectly covered, and they came to see us. And I genuinely hate to be the bearer of bad news. I try really, really hard not to, but I could see where there were holes left and right in their plan.
They were operating under some bad assumptions, it sounds like.
Bad assumptions, bad advice. They had gone on the interwebs and found an article. And it was funny, they printed it and brought it to me. And nice. I'm going, well, that's great. But here on IRS.gov, the big website, the website we want to follow.
The reputable source on this.
The correct source here. Just because somebody writes it doesn't necessarily mean it's true. So just because somebody says it doesn't necessarily mean it's true. Document, document, document. And fact check.
All important, I think, suggestions certainly for folks. What other common mistakes, maybe other than the tax one, do you see people make when they're trying to handle all of this stuff by themselves? Are there easy turns that we can make that go wrong?
Easy places to go wrong. Not factoring inflation and how high the historical average of inflation can be at 3.93. People don't notice it. And it's one of those things that comes and bites you in the rear as you're going along. Most people don't plan for it. And rising costs of medical care. I know insurance in this country is a hot, hot topic, and I do not want to get in the political game here, but the rising healthcare gets more and more expensive, it seems like, as you get older and older, and there's more and more stuff that may or may not be covered under Medicare. And do you want to settle for what Medicare covers, or do you want maybe the nicer version of it? And if so, you're going to probably have to pay the difference. Also, the out-of-pocket costs of prescription drugs. Prescription drugs can be insane, the pricing on that. And some insurance plans cover them and some of them don't. And some Medicare supplement plans cover them and some of them do not, or don't cover them at 100%. So that's where I think people are shocked. And unfortunately, by the time they figure out how expensive it is, it's usually too late. The other thing that I see a lot of DIYers doing, and this is totally understandable and relatable, but they act out of fear. They emotionally invest. When there's a bad day in the market, or XYZ company releases bad earnings, or it's too emotional to them. The emotion of I've spent my life building this nest egg, and I can't let anything happen to it. And rather than following a disciplined approach of buying low and selling high and rebalancing and making sure you're well diversified, they do all the wrong things. And that's the reason the average investor's return is lower than inflation, because on their own, they do all the wrong things.
Yeah, I think that's something that a lot of us can struggle with, is that emotional decision making. It gets even worse when you start making one mistake, you start making more mistakes. So it's kind of like when we drilled the hole into the wall there, if we had acted emotionally right there at that moment and started ripping apart the wall to go find the leak while the water was still running, we may have made some really bad decisions. Instead, we turned the water off, thought about it for a little bit, and realized we could cut just a really small little hole, find the leak, and call the right people to do. Sometimes it takes that step back a little bit, getting some outside counsel, taking that time, a little bit of patience, all those kinds of things. I guess last thing, if somebody is a DIYer and they're kind of wondering about what that transition looks like, Bree, or they're saying, all right, well, maybe I do want to meet with an advisor, but I still like having control over the process. That part's going to be really tough for them to give up just because, hey, it's ingrained in them from having that mentality their whole lives. How do you kind of work with that in the office to, you know, still let them have some control or have that ability or, you know, meet them halfway on that mentality?
Well, I completely understand the need to control. you know, Dad's prior life as a Navy fighter pilot, control the controllables. So I get it. And it's not an immediate turn everything over to us. You have no say anymore. Here's your portfolio. At least the way we handle things here at Estes Financial, it's very consultative. We work together. We are investor coaches with our clients. And part of that coaching is the emotional side of it, the avoiding emotional investing, the staying calm, staying disciplined, staying approach, and talking through some things. So even when we put financial plans together, I've seen other people just, here's your plan, present it, and you must follow it. And that's not really how we work around here. It's like joining up for one of those diet plans where they say, okay, you can eat nothing but, I don't know, kale. And then the minute you, like, you eat kale for 2 weeks and that's fine, and then somebody brings in a donut to work, or, you know, you go out to dinner and next thing you know, you're eating everything on the menu and you never go back to the kale. So at least that's not how it works here. And that's probably not how it should work. We work with our clients to develop their financial plan, to make sure they are comfortable in their portfolio. And there's so much education. And to me, that's one of the things that I love how Dad set up our firm is there's so much education. In fact, we are rolling out some new things this year for our clients, because it's important to me. That's the most important part of what we do. The financial coaching is the education process.
That's a great point. That's one of the reasons why we host this podcast each time, is to educate you about some of the things happening in the broader financial landscape, and also to talk about some of the decisions you might be making. And maybe you are a DIYer. Maybe that's something that resonates with you. And if you'd like to get some help with your financial plan instead, maybe find that middle ground where you can have a little bit more freedom from your portfolio. Reach out to Bree Reyes and the team. All you have to do is call 817-444-8402 if you have any questions. 817-444-8402, or you can, of course, go online to estesfinancial.net. That's estesfinancial.net. We're also on Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn. Just check out the Estes Financial Services team there on whatever platform is good for you to get in touch with us. Bree, we really appreciate the help once again on this week's show. Looking forward to talking to you again soon, and hope you have a great time between now and then. We'll talk to you soon.
Sounds good. And everybody listening, go out and lead an abundant life.